Hello, dear heart. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in. Beloveds, this was one of the very first podcasts I ever recorded in April of 2020, and I started this project. It had been on my mind for a long time, but I started it or had the time to begin it because of our Rahui, or our lockdown during our COVID times. So we refer to this during the time and some of the reflections that we're having. And Jivatma Masaga is a co-creator, a co-founder of Saga Bodywork, which is based out of Hawaii. With her partner, both in the business and in life, Daniel. And they're both beautiful, seasoned body workers. But this conversation really digs deep into some really nourishing, delicious concept about barefoot body work and the origins of Saga, but also some really cool theories or concepts of touch around healthy touch, healthy relationship. To me, just feels really nourishing, and it's such a cool discussion to listen to later. Hope you enjoy. It's also quite cool to observe myself in this, and both to consider how much I've learned, but also how cool it can be to know nothing and go in blind and just let what happens happens. Because re-listening to this, I'm very nourished by this conversation, and I think I still apply some of the same concepts and ideas that I did when I began. And it's also very interesting to observe me stepping into that role of training, which now I feel more comfortable in. I've embodied it more, and also I'm in the flux and flow of life changing and expressing all different parts. So there were different aspects of this particular interview or this particular conversation that resonated with me in a different way than it did the first time I listened to it. Also, it's interesting as well, lots of interestings, but it's interesting as well that when I first recorded this, I was more thinking that these were for YouTube, and I tended to sort of follow the trend of the time, which was to cut down the interview to be short because that was what the algorithm was showing on YouTube. And right now I don't really care about those sorts of things. I'm just doing what feels nourishing. So I've re-edited some of these podcasts from before, but I've also linked to the YouTube clip if you do want to watch.
Hey Jiva, so lovely to have you here today. Thank you for connecting in with our community.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I was actually meant to be doing your course in Chicago in August, so I felt the call to reach out and have a connection anyway, because I follow your guys' stuff and I really love it, and I love the concept. We do a bit of in our practice, we do a bit of like takahiro tinana, so walking the body as well. So I was like, oh, I just want to learn what you've developed and have a conversation.
Well, thank you. We look forward to having you in our class whenever that will be.
When it all aligns again for us. Yeah. So to begin, would you like to introduce yourself? In our culture, we always say, who are you? And however you choose to answer that is your choice.
Okay. Who am I? So in this world and this manifestation of myself, I am Jiva. My name is Jiva, or Jivatma, but I go a lot by Jiva. It's an Indian name. I was born and raised in India, but I'm Spanish and French. My mom is Spanish. My dad is French. And I grew up in Oroville, which I think is a cool thing to know about me. It's like a international eco-village spiritual community in Southeast India, in the state of Tamil Nadu. And it's very unique. It's a very unique environment, very diverse, people from all over the world, all kinds of cultures and cultural backgrounds and spiritual backgrounds. It's about 3,000 people living there from all over. So I was born and raised there, and then I have since, over the past, been about 15 years since the first time that I came to Hawaii, So I've been living in Hawaii for most of the year and going back to India 3 to 4 months out of the year usually. Yeah. So my whole family is in India. My parents are there and my sister and all my, you know, growing up, all my friends and everything. So yeah, so I kind of have a bi-locational lifestyle, so to speak. It has a lot of good and some challenge as well. And I've been doing massage for about 15 years as well now. And it's really, it's been my path from day one. I really I thought I was going to go to university and do all these other things. And then I found massage, or massage found me, however you want to think of it. And that was it. I really went into that and became my life. So yeah, it's been a fascinating journey. And then after being in a, you know, manual therapy practice for a few years, I started to use my feet, which to massage, which has been really my passion. And from there, kind of everything developed from there with what I do now, which is Sarga Bodywork, which is the method that I've developed with my partner Daniel. Daniel is a rolfer. He does structural integration.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot of influences of structural integration in Sarga, although it's by no means rolfing, but it has influences of that. But yeah, that's a little bit about me. I love massage. I love movement. I love the human body. I think for me, it's really, I've always known that I'm on a path of self-discovery through the human body and through helping others or inspiring others in developing that relationship with the body, whether it's through movement or through massage. So, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, for those who don't know what rolfing is, can you do a little bit of an explanation on that to clarify?
Yeah, yeah. So rolfing is, it's a manual therapy technique, but it's more, it's a little bit more clinically oriented or goal oriented than massage. So it's not so much a kind of like laid down and relaxed kind of massage therapy. It's more of a, something's happening with the body, how can we fix it? How can we look at it from different ways? It's very postural as well. So we look, they look a lot at posture. I don't do rolfing myself, but rolfers look a lot at posture. And it's done in a 10 series usually, although you can just do a 3 series or just go in one for a treatment. But traditionally it's done in a 10 series and it goes through your whole body. And it's myofascially based. So it's a myofascial technique. So it's pretty dry. My partner uses a little bit of water, if anything, but there's not a lot of oil or lubrication used. And it's very slow. It's slow, sustained, and high friction pressure, which we also use in Sarga Bodywork. But essentially, you just want to really stay with the engagement of the fascia and going really slow, so that you maintain that engagement, you don't just glide over it.
And
they look a lot at like actual structural change, how to actually affect structural change in the body.
Oh, cool. So exciting. That's, I love all these different waves. how it's like, I feel like as body workers, it's almost like we are destined to do all these studies of different things and pull them together in a way to like evolve the practice. Do you have that sense as well?
Sure. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all contribute to the pool of body work and massage. And that was really, for me, one of the inspirations behind Sarga Bodywork and what we've created, was to just contribute our ideas
So can you describe Sarga Bodywork to us, what it is, and whatever you feel called on your heart to share about it at the moment?
So maybe I'll just start a little bit with the story of how it began. So I was in massage school, and then after I got out of massage school, I pretty quickly started developing a pretty full private practice. And I always had a love, a really strong inclination and love for like deeper pressure, like deep. When I got out of massage school in 2007, I started doing a pretty much a full-time private practice, and I always had a love for deep work. So I started doing a lot of deeper work. And pretty soon, being a smaller person and pretty small frame, I pretty soon started to feel the effects of that. I was living in Hawaii at the time and working on a lot of big people, big surfers, and just feeling the effects on my body. So I started to think about different ways in which I could work more smarter, I guess. And that's how I first started to use my feet. So I remember the day really clearly. It was an evening, and I was doing house calls at the time. Out calls, so I would go to people's homes. And there was this family that I used to massage, the mother, the father, and the three children. And the children were like 5 to 8 or something. And it was at the end of the evening, and I had to, the dad was the last one. He was this big guy, and I was really tired. And we had set up the table outside. They had an overhang, like a porch with an overhang right by there. They had a pool, a swimming pool. And he was on the table, and he loved deep pressure. Like, he wanted it as deep as I could go, and more. I felt like I could never go deep enough. And so that particular evening, I was like, what am I going to do with him? And something was like, just get on the table. I had done Thai, but I had done Thai massage, so I had a notion of using my body weight, but I had never really used my feet per se. So I got on the table, and there was this overhang, and there were bars, and I started to hold on to the bars. And his name was Chris. He was blown away. And he was like, I just want that. Like, every time you have to walk on me, you have to use my feet, your feet. That was the beginning. And from there, I started to experiment with using my feet a lot. And I really felt right away like, oh, there is a whole world here for me. And I really want to explore it. And I really want to see what's there. So I continued to have fun with it. I went back to India, and I did a little bit of Chavuti Thirumal, which is the Keralite massage from Kerala, the Indian Ayurvedic style, with a rope overhead and using the feet. Mm. It's done traditionally on the floor, on a straw mat right on the floor, Indian style. It's very oily.
Wow, I've never heard of that type of practice. How cool.
Yeah, Chavuti Thirumal or Keralite massage, you should look it up. And it's everything, all the Ayurvedic treatments stay very oily. It's like a lot of oil. It's wonderful. It's really good for different things, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. Like, I always preferred the drier work with just a little bit of oil and deeper myofascial work. So I came back to the U.S. After that, and I found Ashiatsu, which is the technique with the feet with the bars overhead that was being kind of made popular in the U.S. by this woman, Ruthie Hardy. So I found that, and I did a course, and that is how I actually met Daniel Tsukayama, who is my partner. And we didn't meet at the class I did, but we met, he had done the class just before me, and I did the class after, and our teacher kind of connected us. And him and I, my Ashi teacher at the time, my Ashiatsu teacher, was like, oh, you should trade with this guy because he's really good. And I completely forgot about it. I kind of like kept his contact. And then months later, I needed a body work. And I was like, oh, I'll try out that guy. And I contacted him, and we traded. And right away was like, whoa, like, we're doing such similar work. And I felt so inspired by the way that we were working so similarly, and our interests and everything like that. And that was the beginning of our collaboration and the beginning of Sarga as well. So pretty much right away when we met, we started to have all these ideas of where we wanted to kind of see bodywork evolve to and grow to. And part of that was that we wanted to make bodywork more free, so less restricted to like overhead support. So mm-hmm. rather than, you know, having overhead bars or an overhead rope where you have to drill into the ceiling or drill into the walls. We wanted to make it mobile and portable. And another big part of the inspiration was also to make it more myofascially based. So ashiatsu gets deep, but it also uses a fair amount of lubrication as well. So we wanted something a little bit more dry, a little bit more myofascially based. And that's when it started, and we experimented with all kinds of things, all kinds, walkers and canes and ropes and yoga belts and different permutations. We started on the ground with a floor table, all kinds of different designs. And then we decided that we wanted to keep the raised table configuration so that therapists could still keep the use of their hands, so that they could, you know, get on the table, use their feet, get off the table and use their hands. So that's how we started developing the equipment of Sariga Bodywork, how it is today. It took many different tries, and everything was a learning curve for us. So, I mean, we had never done this. This was a startup business. We had never, you know, we had to file for patents, and we have a patent pending, design patent for the equipment. And we wanted to do it right from the beginning. Like, we really wanted to, you know, not just mess around and see what happened. We really had a vision to create something that was going to be able to evolve and develop into something valuable. It was a huge learning curve from, yeah, like I said, from the paperwork to developing techniques to developing the manual and the website, the videos, and I mean, endless, it was endless hours of work. I mean, it still is. Now the baby is kind of walking on its own.
It's got its own energy source.
So what's that?
It's got its own energy source. It doesn't need so much, like,
Yeah. We'll see now with Corona, but yeah. No, yeah. Hopefully it'll keep going. Yeah, so that's how it started. So I guess Sariga Bodywork is in a nutshell, a barefoot massage method that employs the use of a sarga strap. We call it a sarga strap, but of a piece of fabric, so that uses tensional support and is myofascially based. So that was all actually. That was a first. That was something that hadn't been done before we came along, was the use of tension, of a tension piece of fabric. So that is really at the base of Sariga Bodywork, is that idea of the word tensegrity, which is the integrity of tension. And it's that relationship between push and pull. So the tension of the strap and the pushing of the foot, the working foot. So we use a lot of that with our wraps. We kind of like lean into the wraps and use the tension for extra force and also for support and stability.
Mm.
So that was a little bit about Sariga and how it evolved. Mm.
How do you feel that for you, the developing of the evolution of the practice and like the difficulties, as you mentioned, interacts with your own sort of development and embodiment in a way?
Oh, that is huge. I mean, that's really for me been like the biggest gift of Sariga. Like, I feel that for me personally, I mean, I hope that Sariga has been a gift for others in the world, but for me personally, I feel that it has made me grow in ways that I never thought I would ever tackle those battles. For one, I mean, the main one was that I literally had terrifying fear of public speaking. And so for me, that was a huge journey, was to develop my teaching persona. It had started before Sariga, luckily, thank God. I had had a little bit of experience teaching massage. I had my friend's school on Maui, on the island of Maui, which is actually the school that I graduated from. So I graduated from that school, and I had the owner of the school, Jim Hackett, was a really strong mentor for me with massage. And we stayed in touch through the years. And then at a certain point, he invited me to go back a few years after I graduated and teach for him. And I did. I was terrified, but that was the first time that I started to teach massage, and he really like gave me a lot of very valuable mentorship through kind of initiating me to teaching. And it was really interesting too, because I went to the school. I graduated as a student the first year that Jim owned the school. He had just bought the school. And then I actually went back to teach the last year. He ended up passing away of cancer. But I went back and I taught his very last class where he was, and we didn't even know that he was ill when I moved to teach for him. But it was just a really cool kind of full circle for me. I mean, I miss him, I love him dearly, but it was really interesting how that happened. But so anyways, that's another story, but that's how I started teaching. And then, so I would say Sarga for sure at that level has really pushed me to go past my comfort zone with public speaking, with being on camera, with all that stuff, which was really scary for me. And I mean, a million of other things. I mean, I always had a hard time in school with anything that was too like mental, whether it was math or, you know, I was definitely more of the physical and kinesthetic learner. And there's a lot with the business that I had to learn, that I had to take on, as because this was my baby, nobody else was going to do it. And so there was a lot that I had to do that really made me kind of develop all those aspects of myself. And I think also just a level of trust and a level of, yeah, courage, like a level of trust and courage that, you know, when you take on a project and you start something, you never know how it's going to go. And it takes courage to just jump and go for it. And I mean, none of this would have happened without the incredible partnership and balanced gifts that we both bring with Daniel. Like, I think that it really took the two of us coming together and putting this together. For me, I feel like it's an immense gift that I was given the opportunity to create all this. And Daniel and I have had a lot of fun. I mean, we've had a lot of hard times as well and sleepless nights, but mostly a lot of fun also together. So it's really been a journey that's been professional and as well as personal.
Yeah.
And then of course it has affected, one more thing is that it has hugely impacted the way in which I work with my clients, with my private clients. So my actual manual therapy techniques and approach have completely changed from developing Sarga. So I pretty much don't do anything else other than using my feet with Sarga now when I work on people. Although I barely have a private practice now because I have been traveling so much teaching and running the business that I don't really have that many clients anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What would you suggest? Because I've only just started teaching. So is there any suggestions you would say in stepping into that space for me?
Into that role? Let's see. I would say that, I mean, it sounds like you've already done it. I think the most important part is to actually start, to like throw yourself into it, because I know for a long time for me that was holding me back. I was like, oh, I want to teach, but I have this huge fear and, you know, aversion to it. And so I never started. And it's only when you really start that you can start to work on it. So, but it sounds like you've started.
I did one. So we've had one graduation already of the, it's sort of like a 4-month intake, and they go through 4 months. So they've had one graduation, and then we were enrolling for the next lot. And yes, that's changed. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, right. 2020 has, yeah, changed plans at the moment.
You teach technique?
Yeah, so I teach Romi Romi and combine it with Miri Miri, which are Māori healing practices. So it sounds it's not similar, but we use, it's quite dry Romi Romi. Miri Miri is more like it's more like Lomi Lomi. So that's more the softer hands, Miri Miri, and then Romi Romi is more like using your body weight, a bit like Thai massage, but not so much, but on certain like vital points and that myofascia. We use any part of our body, so it can be knees or feet or hands, whatever's needed for the specific point. Yeah, but it's quite intuitive as well. So it's a combination of the intuition, which I think develops for all body workers, regardless of the practice they're doing, when they start to know their client's body and how it moves. So teach that.
Nice. For me, one of the most important things that I can think of with teaching is an aspect of, like, what you're teaching is important, like the technique and whatever it is that you're teaching, the moves and all of that. But for me, beyond that, or like underneath all of that, the most important thing is to connect with the person. So with my students, it always feels like when I make that personal connection and I have that connection with them, the teaching happens on its own. It's really that connection that matters the most. And it's sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly as other times. Like sometimes there's maybe a little bit more of a lack of that connection, and that okay, seeing past, everybody comes to class with their own, I do myself, with our own fears and our own kind of aversions and kind of like walls that we build up around ourselves to protect ourselves. And I think that as quickly as we can break through those and really connect with the person that's underneath all of that, the greater we can really connect and impart our knowledge or whatever it is we want to share with them.
Yeah. And what would you advise to a person who's feeling that call to begin body work or massage, or if they're feeling that sort of arising in them, what would you suggest?
I would suggest to follow it right away. I would suggest to follow it and to at least find out more, find out if it really is something that lives in you. And I think you can only know that by jumping in and doing it and seeing if it really is something that you want to do. But again, I think that comes to the only way you know is by doing it.
You've been writing a lot on Instagram at the moment about like transmuting the energy of not being, when you can't do, I don't know if it's you or it might be Daniel, but when you can't do sessions, and like how we can use that energy differently in this time, not being able to do body work. I've been thinking a lot about this as well, because when I was thinking about it, I was like, for the last 6 years, I don't think there's been a week I haven't done a session. Like even if I'm on holiday, like I'm doing a session for someone. So it's like a weird feeling to not have that energy exchange and expenditure in that way. Can you speak to that a little bit, maybe for body workers out there who are also feeling those feelings?
Those, a lot of those things on Instagram and social media are, it is Daniel writing them. But we kind of, we talk about it together, and it's a lot of our combined ideas. But Daniel is the one that has a full-time bodywork practice, manual therapy practice. As I said, for myself, I think I had quite a few years where that was all I was doing, and I was doing sessions every day, pretty much all day. But over the past, since I've been teaching Sarga, over the past almost 4 years, that has decreased. I mean, it's not that I don't do any body massages or manual therapy, but it has decreased. So for me, it's a little bit less. I go through long periods of time where I don't do treatment, whether it's, but I am still, I'm still doing massage because I'm teaching and demoing and kind of, doing all that. So it kind of still feels like I'm connected to massage, but I'm not in the office doing treatments. And then often when I go to India as well, like I'll work on family, but I don't really have, for those months in India, I don't have a full practice. So for me, it's perhaps a little bit less strong right now than for somebody that has a full-time practice. I would say that as massage therapists, we can, I guess that's true for anything that you do in the world, but we can kind of like start to define ourselves through our work and find a sense of grounding and worthiness and a feeling of being of service and being valuable and being useful in the world through our work. And I think that it's really interesting, although those are beautiful things, and it's beautiful that we have this way of being, being a positive energy in the world. But I think that it is also really interesting through this situation with the coronavirus and kind of like the worldly situation asking us to not do anything, it's interesting to reevaluate some of those things and kind of take a moment to be like, who am I without my work, and who am I without giving sessions? Who am I without teaching even, and you know, whatever it is that we may be doing. That I think that it's a very powerful place to be, to kind of re-examine who we are and how we feel in the world without that. Some ways in which we can continue to kind of bring something to the world. I don't know. I think that we each have to be creative with that, because I feel like, for example, right now, I feel that a lot of people are in very different situations, like worldwide, you know? So I think that the way in which you can be of service can be so different right now, depending on where you are and your situation. So whether it's like the best way you can be of service is to stay in your house and like not do anything outside, or whether it's, you know, go help out somewhere where they need help, or whether it depends. It's just so varied. I think that overall, the overall kind of arcing arch of the theme of this time planetarily is, it's really being okay with being with yourself.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. I so agree. For you, with the footwork with Saga, what have you found are the main differences between the, you know, using hands or in a traditional?
Yeah, I think it's actually very different energetically. It feels, to me, using the feet has always felt more like more grounding in a way. Like it feels like my energy is really heavy, but not in like a negative way, like heaviness, but like very grounded, very solid. And I also feel that it's interesting because with the feet, you kind of have a little bit more distance, like physical distance, but also energetic distance with the person. And that somehow allows for what I feel like a little bit, how can I express it? It's almost like you have more space, and therefore you can connect deeper, but in a different way. Like you're not so close. So it creates also for, you know, people that it kind of creates a buffer. Yeah, it creates a buffer that is like this safe zone. And it's in a way, it's less intimate. It's less intimate. It's more like a little bit more detached, a little bit more neutral. Neutral is the word I would use, yeah. So at an energetic level, I feel that. And then I think that at a practical level, I think that the feet are incredible tools, especially for deeper work, myofascial work. I mean, just looking at the structure of the foot, the broadness of the foot, the amount of area that we can cover with a foot versus a hand is huge, the difference. And I think especially for work, specifically like myofascial work, you know, the broader your contact, the better, like the more kind of tissue, the more fascia you're affecting, the better. So I think that the foot is really ideal for that. And the amount of pressure that you can affect with the feet and with your body weight and with tension, the tension of the strap is, but just in general, even with the feet, for other techniques with the feet, I think that it's a world of difference. And I mean, I would like barefoot work to be in every massage school, because I didn't know about it when I came out of school, like, you know, and a lot of people don't know about it, and we kind of like stumble upon it maybe if we're lucky. But I feel that it should be a part of, you know, how when you go to, at least here in the US, when you go to a massage school, they kind of give you a little taste of a lot of different techniques.
Yeah, here as well, in Australia.
Yeah, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I think that's really important. I think that barefoot work should be in there as well, because it's an incredible tool that very few people find as massage therapists.
And what sort of people are coming normally into, is it people who have felt, you know, their shoulder, sort of their own injuries, is similar to your story, or is it a mixture of students? Yeah.
It's a mix of people. Yeah. A lot of people are looking at kind of adding longevity to their careers, because they see that they burn out. But a lot of people come through that, but it depends. Some people come out of curiosity, out of wanting to do something new, also something different. I think that Sarga body work kind of stands out as something new and different. So they come to that, or barefoot work in general too. I mean, it's not that widespread. It's still something pretty unique. So it depends, a variety of things.
Yeah. I'm just thinking in terms of our practice, like when we use feet, it can be a lot deeper and almost hurt for some people. Is it similar with Sarga that it's like, is it similar in that way that it can be painful sometimes for people?
Yeah, I think with Sarga, we're trying to always talk about kind of like staying on that line between engage, like having a deep engagement, but still staying in the parasympathetic nervous system. So we're still trying to give a session that is relaxing for the parasympathetic
nervous system. Okay, yeah.
So you always kind of want to play with that edge, and that edge is different for everybody, and it's different for every moment as well. Like some person can, you know, the same person can have different moments in which more or less pressure is okay. But you do want to have that level of engagement. Like it's not going to be like a passive, like really like fluffy and soft massage. It does have that depth. And it depends also where the client wants to take it, because if they want to take it to that place where it's like really deep and therapeutic, then that's also it's a choice that the client and the therapist makes. But it does have that edge of intensity. It does have that edge of intensity.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. And how would you advise someone hold that when it is arising in a person, when there is that intensity or I don't know, for me, it's like that energetic shift that's occurring in the body of the client when you're at that edge, right? How would you suggest to say a new practitioner to hold that space?
I mean, for one, I think what I encourage the most is communication. So we always tell our students that, especially at the beginning of doing Sarga, when you're not so used to using that amount of pressure or using your feet even, to really not be afraid to communicate a lot with your clients. So lots of communication. I usually, you know, encourage them, especially if it's a new client, to kind of at the beginning of the session tell them like what it's going to be about and everything about your work and how it works and what you're going to be doing, and that if anything, and that this is supposed to be, it's meant to be a deep therapy, and that if anything feels uncomfortable throughout the session, to let them know or to speak up, to basically not hold back, letting us know as therapists what doesn't feel good. And then there's a lot of checking in through the session as well, like as you go, a lot of checking in with the client to see how they're doing.
I'm asking about when you're walking that edge, and it can be, I find at least in our practice, like sometimes, yes, you're always listening to the client, but there's also that level of holding the space as the therapist, right? You know, and I think at least what I've witnessed, that's been one of the most sort of profound things drop in for the trainees is when they realize that it is about also knowing your practice and knowing your art, being a professional in the way that you know as well for the benefit.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. There is a huge part with that. I mean, I think that is something that is a developed sense, and some people may have it easier than others, or may have it right away, and some people may take it a while to develop, but I think that there is that awareness of, like, you know, after a while you really know when you can go deeper, you cannot go deeper. You also get used to, I mean, practically speaking, you get used to different body types, and you know, some body types can take a certain amount of pressure and others not. But I think that's something that comes, that either you have it naturally, like somehow you have a feel for it, or you develop over time. But I think both of those, I think communicating with the client and keeping your awareness, like, really attuned, are both very important.
And how do you do that for yourself, in that awareness attunement?
Oh, it's really hard to explain.
That's why I like asking other people. It's good for people to hear. Well, I feel for them to hear us explain it in different ways, because like I'll explain it one way and you'll explain it another way, but it might land for them.
It is a difficult thing to explain because it's an experience that you need to have of the tissue, that I think, and not just the tissue, the energetic. Also, I feel that a lot of times it's not that you're going too deep, it's that you're going too fast too. So we work extremely slow with Sarga, and I think that you can go incredibly deep when you're going very slow, like very, very, very slow. So there's that aspect. I would say that for me, the main thing that I look for is a sensation in the recipient's, in the client's tissue. Like it's almost like a feeling of like either being received or being like kicked off the tissue. And they don't even have to move or really say anything for this, but it's a very subtle thing. Like the tissue is inviting you in, or it's kind of like pushing you out. That's the best the best way I can express
it. Beautiful. That's a really beautiful expression. I totally get it. Yeah. So cool. I love that. Is there anything on your heart to share at the moment about your practice, or you wrote the importance of touch and through body work?
I mean, I think for me, that is one of the things that I am passionate about, is just the amount of how much this world needs healthy touch and a healthy relationship to touch. And I think that touch is important in a way that we don't even begin to understand how important touch is for humans to be happy and to be grounded and whole. And I just feel that it's so lacking in today's environment, today's society. I think that touch has a lot of connotations that are negative, whether it's violence, physical violence, or sexual connotations, or a lot of trauma around unhealthy touch, whether it's violence or sexual stuff. It's just like it comes loaded. It can come loaded with a lot. And I think that because of that, we tend to not get enough touch, not get enough of the right touch, of the healthy touch. And I think that it's extremely important. And I think that massage can give a way for people to access that maybe don't have that. Many, 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 many of us don't have access to that, whether we don't have a significant other or a family member or a friend, and it doesn't have to be like a partner thing, a sexual thing. It's just like getting that level of touch is something that a lot of humanity might not have access to. And I think that it's important. I mean, there's many studies being done of how much that changes, like development of a child or even in adults. Mm. And the importance of touch is closely interwoven with what we do as massage therapists and what we can try to provide to people.
Yeah, so beautiful. So agree. It is such a cool... Out of curiosity, have you ever felt like a sense of discontent with being a massage therapist, or has it always felt an alignment for you?
It has always, I mean, for me at the very beginning, I didn't have to think about it. It just possessed me. I always felt an alignment with it. I didn't know that that's what I was going to do. Like I had all these different ideas of what I wanted to be when I grew up, but then actually looking back, I realized that I always had a thing with massage. Like I always had an affinity towards touch. Like I remember I used to massage my parents and my mom and my friends, and my hands were always kind of like massaging someone's feet or something. So I feel that I had it in me. I just hadn't recognized it. And I've always felt an alignment with that path. I think for me, it has started to shift. Not that I think that touch and manual therapy will always be a part of my life, but the amount and the importance that that has in my life has shifted a little bit through Sarga as I become more involved in teaching. Mm-hmm. But I think that essentially I'm still involved in touch, just in a different way. Like but and also in massage, I mean massage in general. So I think that is always going to be a part of my life, whether I do other things, which I probably will, but massage will always be a part of my life, and I've always felt in alignment with that path. Yeah, I mean honestly, I've questioned every aspect of my life, but it's interesting how I have never questioned that. I've never questioned the thought. Yeah, whether it's, you know, relationship and where living places and where you're, you know, so many things that one can go through questioning about, and but massage has always kind of just been there for me. Yeah,
that's so cool. Yeah, it took me some time to like accept it, because the practice I do was in my family, and I had quite a lot of resistance, you know, as you do when you're younger, like, oh, I can't see how that will work, you know, when it was living in me and like there was no choice. I just couldn't, my brain couldn't quite grasp it. Yeah. Now I totally can't imagine my life without it, but it was also at that time like, so what? You know, I have to go down this path now. So yeah.
Beautiful.
And is there anything else that you feel called to share before we begin to wrap up a bit?
Let's see. I mean, I would just end by saying that whatever you do, it's important to do it with passion. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I feel that I just recently went through something that has made me look at that again, but I think that like the work we do in the world is something that is like a continuous choice. It's not like you choose it once and you're done. It's like you choose it every day and you choose it in every moment. And I feel that every time you come to that choice, you choose it in a different way and with a different level of commitment. Yeah, and I'm really happy to be having this conversation, because the timing of it is pretty interesting as well for me, and I feel that it reminds me of that passion and of that, yeah, that inspiration that I carry with me. And even though, like I was saying, I never lose track of that, like it's always with me, but it's kind of like you go through times of like, oh, like there it is.
And it shifts form.
I am.
It'll be sometimes it's more like practical thinking, and then other times it's like,
yeah,
like spirit moving through me or something, you know. But it forms differently at different times.
Yeah. So yeah, I would just end by saying that it, whatever it is you choose to do in this world, just do it with passion and do it with your heart.
Oh, how beautiful. Yeah. Would you like to share, I'll link anyway, but your social media and your website for those who want to connect with you at all?
Yeah, certainly. So we have a few ways to connect with us. We have Sarga Bodywork website, which is just www.sargabodywork.com, S-A-R-G-A bodywork.com. And we have our teaching schedule on there and all the information you can read more on Sarga and everything else. And then we have a Facebook, Sarga Bodywork on Facebook, and we have an Instagram as well, Sarga Bodywork.
Cool.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, cool. So is there anything that you guys are offering at the moment, or are you going in and rejuvenating foundations that you would want to share with the community at the moment?
We are not right now. Well, let's just say that there might be things in the oven, but but we will share with everyone when the stall at the farmer's market is open.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. And I usually ask the person who I'm interviewing if they have a prayer or a way that they want to finish off for everyone, sending some love out to people. Are you open to that?
Absolutely. I'll just start by saying thank you for having me, and also for everybody listening. I actually went to Australia for the first time this year on my way to India. Yeah. I went to Sydney and I had a really good time in Australia, and I would love to bring Sarga Bodywork to Australia and also just experience Australia more. And let's close with a prayer. Maybe I'll do a short Indian mantra.
Beautiful.
Take a minute and close our eyes and I just want to make this prayer for everybody listening, and also for anybody that is suffering on the planet right now, whether it's with the present situation of the coronavirus, physically suffering with a disease, or financially suffering, emotionally suffering, mentally. May there be peace, abundance, health, and lots of light in everyone's heart. And I'll just go ahead and do three ohms.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can think of those three ohms as one for ourselves, one for our closed ones, and one for humanity and the planet as a whole. So let's take a deep inhale and exhale together. And let's inhale to Om. 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 Shanti, shanti, shanti. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm so grateful. Needed that heart space connection.